Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
I want to read first from God's Word, beginning in chapter 14 and verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains, and the waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen. Has fallen that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. May God add blessings to the reading of his word. Now, Revelation has quite a bit to say about judgments. We already know that they are the primary focus of chapters 6 through 11, and we know also they are the focus of chapters 15 through 19. Now we are in the period of time of chapters 12 and 14, and we are looking at a little bit of an interlude unfolding between the primary judgments of God's wrath. Chapters 12 and 13 seem to recount the events of the tribulation from Satan's perspective. Chapter 14 returns to what God is doing. In the three visions, this text previews the remaining judgments of the tribulation and the return of Christ. The first vision, in verses 1 through 5, was the 144,000 Jewish evangelists who will appear with the Lord Jesus Christ on Mount Zion at His second coming. Before us tonight, in verses 6 through 11, is the record of a second vision that John was given, in which judgment is proclaimed by three angelic messengers. Now, angels serve throughout Scripture as God's messengers. As a matter of fact, if you go into the Word of God and see angels, and if you go back into the Greek, it is the Greek word angelos, and it means messenger. It also is used in a couple of instances to talk about those, maybe not heavenly angels, but those who are called to preach God's Word as messengers of God's Word. Often they are referred to as angels as well in the King James Bible, and it is using that same Greek word of angelos to describe them and their function and their work. But the point being made is that God uses messengers to proclaim His Word. And in this case, what we have just read, there are three angels that have been given the duty and the function and the gifting and the anointing of God to be upon the earth during the tribulation period, during this particular point in time, and bring three very judgmental messages to the people of planet Earth. We see that in being an effect of angels having a significant role in the end time events. For example, aside from our passage tonight, they will gather the non-elect, not the church, the unsaved, for judgment. Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 and 42, and again in 49 and 50, tell us about that. They also deal with the church. We see in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. They also will accompany the Lord Jesus Christ when He returns to earth at His second coming. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31, and again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. In Revelation, angels we have seen to be involved in the outpouring of God's wrath. Unlike those angels, the ones who have poured out the bowl judgments and have done the trumpet judgments, these three angels described in verses 6 through 11 don't bring the physical, literal judgment. They bring a proclamation from God. They bring a word from God Himself of the consummation of the age and the coming great white throne judgment. So as we look about God's Word tonight, we're going to see three things. We're going to see the first, the angel that is involved with preaching. And we see that as we look at our study guide. We see, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice to fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the spring of water. Now, when we're looking at verses 6 and 7, we see first the location of this. It is taking place in the midst of heaven. Now that is a very interesting phrase. When we look at that, we need to understand that we're not talking about the third heaven per se. We are talking about and looking at what the Greek calls the mid heaven or middle heaven. And what it is pointing out a physical location, the height of the noonday sky, where the sun reaches its highest point. This is the highest and the brightest point of the day, where all can see and all can hear. The point that God is making and God's Word is making, when John saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, he saw this angel at a point and at a place where everyone around the world would be able to see, would be able to hear, and would be able to understand what the angel is saying. God's Word is not going to return to Him void. There's not going to be anyone that's going to be able to say, I didn't hear it, I didn't understand it, I wasn't sure about it, I was just this or that or the other. There will be no and, buts, or ifs when it comes to the authority of God's Word. When He says an angel will be in the midst of heaven, He means that there will be an angel that will not be misunderstood. There will not be anyone that can honestly and truthfully say they didn't hear Him. There will be no excuses. It will be a message of God that would be sent, that would be heard without any excuse, without any reason. And it would come to the entire planet. And we see what that message was. The angel had the everlasting gospel. That everlasting gospel is the same gospel that we preach today in the pulpits across the world. It's the same gospel that we read from God's Word. It is the very same thing today that's being preached and taught that these angels will bring from God's own ordination of heaven to give to the folks that are on earth at this time. Now remember, we're in the tribulation period. We're in the midpoint of the tribulation period. The Antichrist is in full power. The peace treaty with Israel has already collapsed and fallen apart. The world has fallen apart. Everything is going into chaos. All of the judgments that have been out, humanity is killing off humanity. People are dying. The people, the population of the earth is very slim and very slender at this point. The atmosphere and the living conditions in the earth are horrible and intolerable. People are miserable. Miserable. And through all of that, they choose to stay disobedient to God. God being God, the merciful, loving, kind, gracious God that He is, He sends a messenger. And that messenger is bringing the everlasting gospel. Get right. Get saved. Change and turn. Turn and walk away from the beast. Stop taking the 666. Stop taking that mark. Apparently at this point in time, God would not have sent the messenger if everyone had taken it at this point. There were still those who were not decided, who were trying to hold out. And remember when we were looking at the sign and the mark of the beast, the way it was worded, it was very specific. This will not be a mark that people will be forced into taking. There will not be someone holding a gun to your head telling you you must take it or die. But this will be a mark. People will be so deceived by what was taking place and what will be taking place in the world. They will be so deceived, they will be begging to take this mark. They will feel like this is the answer to all the world's problems. All of the hunger is going to go away. All of the war is going to go away. All of the sickness and the disease is going to go away. This mark is going to take care of all of it. And there will be people that will be lining up saying, "Me next, me next." But God sends this first angel with a plea. With the plea of the gospel of Jesus Christ, saying the blood of Jesus is still sufficient. The blood of Jesus is still strong enough. The blood of Jesus is still powerful enough. The blood of Jesus can still forgive sin. The blood of Jesus can still put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you haven't taken the mark of the beast, get under the blood of the Lamb. The gospel will still be preached and still have authority. And it won't be to a handful of people. If we notice from God's Word, it will be from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people that live. They will hear it. They will hear it, and they will understand it, and they will have to make a decision. We see in verse 7 that it will be with a loud voice. And it will be given with the statement of fear God and give glory to Him. Because what? Because the hour of judgment has come. We see around us today that there is a lack of fear of God. There is a lack of desire for people that are hungering after His Word. There's no desire of folks to actually be under His conviction. There's no glory given to God in many places and under many aspects today. Many churches tonight don't even give God glory. They're giving a God glory. They're giving some type of an idol glory, but they're not giving God glory tonight. The angel pleads with the people, fear God and give Him glory, because judgment has come. Over in one of the books of 1 Peter, I remember a passage of Scripture. It says, if judgment begins at the house of God, What shall the end be of them who know not the gospel? That's an interesting passage. If God begins His judgment, and when you think about it, when God begins judging, He will begin with His people. The rapture of the church is judgment. The rapture of the church is the bema seat of Christ, where the church is lifted up, where the church is called up into heaven, and we will stand there in front of Jesus Christ, and we will receive the rewards of our work as faithful stewards of His Word and His work here on earth. But Peter says, if judgment begins at the house of God, what shall the end be of them who know not the gospel? If it were to begin in the house of God tonight, as empty, as lukewarm, as unglorifying as in many places it is tonight among the body of church, if the church as a whole can be seen as lukewarm as it is tonight, what does that say about the condition of the world and the lostness that is out there? And we're still under the age of grace. Tonight we still have the Holy Spirit holding back the forces of hell upon this earth. The Holy Spirit is restraining. In this day, the angel says God's judgment is come, and that they need to worship Him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains and the waters. They need to worship the God that created everything that they, through sin, have destroyed. If that gospel being proclaimed in that light will take place in the future events, should it not be preached tonight in preparation to prepare the world for what's coming? Why would anyone want to ignore salvation? Why would anyone want to say, not now, God? Not now. Why would anyone would be so blinded that they would turn the radio dial, turn the TV dial, close the door in the face of the witness, push them away and say, not now? I have it happen to me more often than I care to remember. And I walk away with that kind of heartbreaking thought. What is it that is so significant in a person's life that they would ignore the call of God in the gospel? Not me, ignore me. I'm irrelevant. The Word of God is real, and it is sharp, and it cuts to the marrow and to the bone. And if we ignore it, if we push it aside, if we fail to worship God, woe to us when judgment. We see that it will come here. We see that the warning, God's love gives a warning. The preaching of the gospel today is a warning message. It is a warning to the lost. Don't go there. The preaching of the gospel today is a warning to the church that is lukewarm and falling away. Don't go there. Don't get cold on God. The warnings are proceeding today about turn and come back, turn and come back. And when we think of turning and coming back, we continue on in the study of the future events and what's going to happen, and we see beginning in verse 8 that there is judgment. Because there is another angel. And that angel is saying, Babylon is fallen. Babylon his father. The lack of response to the first angel's message causes a second one to proclaim a judgment or to pronounce a judgment. Babylon. Babylon refers to a worldwide political, economic, and religious kingdom of the Antichrist. Everything the devil had set up, everything the devil had sold as a bill of goods to the people around the world, it has fallen. Now, the world in that day may look around and they may see the empires of the buildings and the empires of the military, and they may see multi-millions and billions and trillions of dollars of wealth rolling around in the world, and they may think nothing has fallen. But when the proclamation from heaven comes and says God has proclaimed that this kingdom has fallen, then God has made the announcement that it has happened, and it's a matter of time before he takes his hand and makes it visible. When we think about that happening in the future events, as described here when we read about Babylon falling, let's stop and think seriously for a few minutes about America. If God, in His sovereignty, declares that Babylon is fallen, that the great city has fallen because of her fornication, because of her deceit, because of her adultery. How much easy, just as easy, just as simply tonight, God could claim that same judgment on America. It's just that real. It's just that sincere. It's just that sobering tonight. I'm not saying he will. I'm not the judge. I'm not the determination of that. That's up to God. But I am saying that if God has the authority and the sovereignty to come over the kingdom of the Antichrist that was built, that will be built up, and he will, through his angel, declare it as fallen and ended and done, and he has the authority to bring that kingdom down, if he can do that to the forces and the powers of hell that have built up an empire on this earth, how easy is it for him to do that to a nation like America? And when we read of the circumstances, we read about the wrath of her fornication. This picture's Babylon is causing the world to become intoxicated with pleasure, to enter a period of rebellion, hatred, idolatry. Fornication, in this case, means a spiritual prostitution of the Antichrist and his system to the world. We look at what's being sold in America, what they're trying to sell in the university system, what they're trying to sell socially around the world, what they're trying to sell in the marketplaces around the world, and it is nothing more than a hatred of God. There are organizations, there are people out there tonight that hate God. It isn't about they disagree, it isn't about whether they feel it's too conservative or too liberal or any of that stuff. They hate God. The church tonight is the only thing protecting this nation from God's judgment. In the day that we study in Revelation, there is no protection from God's judgment, only the pronouncement that it is coming, and the warning to avoid it and not be a part of it. To avoid all of that. We see that the second angel speaks of the freedom that the earth has had, that the Antichrist has had, that people have had to be involved in this. But now the plea of repent. The plea of repent. So what are their choices? They can remain loyal to Satan. They can come to the cross and they can seek salvation. If they do, their life is ended. They will be hunted and they will be killed. We know that from our previous studies. So, if they decide to remain and stay tight and close to this Antichrist, to this world system, let's look at the third angel, beginning with verse 9. The third angel followed and said with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation." The cup of his indignation. Anyone loyal to the Antichrist, anyone who takes that name, anyone who takes that number, will suffer the outpouring of God's wrath. It takes a person that I don't believe any of us have ever met one like this, who is so full of hatred and bitterness of God that they would walk away from that warning and go and worship the devil over God. I've seen some pretty vile people. I've been around some pretty disgusting things. I've seen some very ugly stuff, spiritually speaking. Some very ugly things. But to have someone who would say, if any man worship the beast and receive this mark, to be warned that they're going to suffer the wrath of God and be tormented with fire and brimstone. And they say they had rather suffer that and have the blessings of the devil on their life, which is what they choose. That is a very sobering picture of the spiritual condition of humanity during this time. It will be that ugly. It will be that vivid. We can try to imagine it, but I really do not think that our minds today, I don't think our imaginations today have the ability to grasp how ugly the world and how ugly humanity is going to be in that day. We see things today that turn our stomachs, but it's nothing compared to the condition and the shape the world will be in at this point in this time. How bad will their torment be? How bad will the fire and the brimstone be? Well, it will be in the presence of holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb of God. Their judgment, their torture, their torment, it will not be private. It will not be something that they can hide from. It will not be something that they can say, well, this is mine and I have to go at it. They will be seen. They will be seen by the holy angels of heaven and by the Son of God Himself. The one they denied. The one that they denied will look upon them and see their suffering and see their torment. And I don't know this, but I've often wondered it as I read. If those being tormented, as part of that torment, wouldn't be allowed to see the Son of God, whom they denied. Fire, brimstone. And then look out upon that torture. Look out from amongst all of that misery and see the Son of God standing there. The one that could have saved you. The one that offered His salvation to you. Again, I don't know about that scripturally, but I have to wonder if that wouldn't be part of their torment. There's smoke of sins forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. Hell is not going to consume anyone. There is a myth being preached today that if there is a hell, if there is a hell, that it will only be a short-lived torment because it will be, that they'll be consumed, they'll be burned up. Nothing can go on forever. We're not talking about a human being. We're not talking about flesh and bone. We're talking about a soul. The Bible says plainly that it will ascend forever and ever and have no rest day or night. There will be no consumption in hell. It will be one torment after another. The brimstone and the fire will get hotter and hotter. The judgment will be continuous over and over and over again and again and again. Forever. We have a difficult time in our day and age of grasping forever. No end. The same forever that we talk about in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ is the same forever that those in hell will have. Now this isn't the lake of fire that's going to happen later on when we get toward the end at the great white throne judgment. This is a proclamation of what will come from that. This is a warning that it's coming. This is a warning that the great white throne judgment is on its way. This is a warning that this is an opportunity, if you haven't taken the 666, that you can come to the Lord, you can be saved. You may be killed because of that salvation, but you will live forever, eternally in heaven with Jesus Christ. Or you can choose to follow the path that you're on and have fire and brimstone and eternal judgment. Those three angels preach a message in this day and time that has been preached since the beginning of time with the gospel. The picture of it is more vivid and more real here in the judgments of it than in many other places in God's Word. In our day and age, yes, we have the day of grace holding back many of the forces of hell that are wanting to unleash on our earth today. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit holding back persecution from the Christian church in America tonight. Yes, we have the many blessings that we're still enjoying. But in the midst of these blessings, we have many, many opportunities to be sharing and promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ out here into the areas where folks don't know Him, where folks maybe have wandered away for whatever reason, they're distanced from God tonight. In order to free people and give people the opportunity to move away from what they've got and come and accept Jesus Christ. That is the Great Commission of the church. We have that picture of this tribulation period as a very vivid reminder of the consequences of what happens to those who deny Jesus Christ and die in that condition, even today. It is very real. Very real. When the body dies, the soul slips into eternity. An eternity with God, or an eternity separated from God. And at some point in the future, all of those separated from God will be called to that great white throne judgment. And from there, they will be cast with the devil and his angels into the lake of fire, where this brimstone and the gnashing of teeth will be for eternity. They will suffer torment until that time. But there will be that brimstone and that lake of fire. The great white throne judgment will be a reality. The church will be beginning the judgment process with the rapture, where we will stand there before the Lord and we will receive the rewards of our obedience to His commission, to His call, to His plea for His church to be the hands of Jesus extended to the world around us. Judgment and the reality of judgment looks on each and every one of us. It either looks upon us as children of God with mercy and grace, or it looks upon us as those separated from God. I pray that our hearts would yearn to see people saved, and we would earnestly desire in prayer for folks to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior tonight. America needs a revival. McDowell County needs a revival. The church, the body of Christ as a whole, needs a revival to see people reach with the gospel, see people saved. What will we do? What will be our response?